Today is obviously Erev Shabbos Parshas Hazinu. Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Okay, so today, by the way, there's an interesting, very interesting Gra. The Gra says the reason why Sukkot is on the 15th day of Tishrei is because it's the anniversary of when when Klal Yisrael began to build the Mishkan. The Sukkah to a certain degree is a Zecher for the Anane HaKavod. The Anane HaKavod, we know that to be, but it's not just the ultimate Anane HaKavod is the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the ultimate shelter for Klal Yisrael. And the Gra explains as follows. Klal Yisrael, you know, they sinned with the Egel of the 17th day of Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim three times for a total of 120 days. And at the end of 120 days, he came down and gave us the Luchos Shniyos. This took place on the 10th day of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippurim. On the 10th day of Yom Kippurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, I forgive you for the Chet HaEgel. And then on the next day, the 11th day of Tishrei, which was yesterday, Hashem said to Moshe, what we're going to do now is build a Mishkan. Hashem told Moshe to gather Klal Yisrael and instruct them that we're going to get involved in a community project to build a Mishkan and that they should give donations for the Mishkan. That's what took place on the 11th day yesterday. Today and tomorrow was the people brought donations. Baboiker, baboiker. The Vayevsky, remember the pasuk by heart. Heviu. Baboiker, baboiker. So today is that first boiker. Today is a very auspicious day to go collecting for tzedakah, because today was the first community appeal in the history of Klal Yisrael on the 12th.
It says Bayoviu. Bayoviu also baboiker.
Today is the first boiker. This took place on day 12 and day 13. So Rav Meir, it's not a yard site. It's better than a yard site. On day 12 and day 13, Klal Yisrael answered the call of Moshe Rabbeinu to give donations to the Mishkan, and they came and they brought. So today, if you want to go collecting for any worthy cause, today is the anniversary of the first time Klal Yisrael generously opened up their wallets, their bank accounts, and gave over enormous amount of money for the building of the Mishkan. On day 14, Moshe Rabbeinu counted the money, put everything in order, laid out the plans. And on day 15, they began to actually begin the construction, to begin working and producing, putting together the Mishkan. So today is a very interesting day in the Jewish calendar. On day 12 is when Klal Yisrael gave very lavish donations. Now the Chazal, let's go to another short idea. Chazal tell us, Ulkachtem lechem bayoim harishon pri etzadar, that you shall take for yourself on the first day pri etzadkat lestamarim. The 15th day of Nistan is called the Yoim Rishon. Chazal asks, why is it called Yoim Rishon? Sukkot is the 15th day of Tishrei, not the first day of Tishrei. And the answer is, it's Rishon lecheshvon avoinetz. What does this mean? Chazal explained that after Yom Kippurim, we are forgiven for all of our sins. The next 5 days, so the next 4 days, the 11, 12, 13, 14, we are just too busy to sin. In addition to all of our regular obligations, our duties, and being a parnasa, and raising children, families, whatever people are doing, they have another obligation to build a sukkah, to purchase the dalad minim, to make preparations for Yom Tov. There's a lot of things that are going on in a person's life during these 4 days, in addition to all of his regular responsibilities. There is just no time to do an Avera. Therefore, the first opportunity you'll have to do an Avera will be on Sukkot. U'lekachtem lechem bayoim harishon, rishon lecheshbon avoinetz. The Baal Eim also asked the question, if there was no time to do an Aveira during these 4 days, certainly there's no time or opportunity to do an Aveira on Sukkot. On Sukkot, you're busy, the whole Sukkot. You're running from one Simchas Beis HaShoeva to the next. You're running from one Suda to the next. You're running with your Dalad meeting, long davenings. You're busy, busy, busy. The whole Sukkot, you're busy. If there was no time doing Aveira these last 4 days, so certainly there should be no time doing Aveira from the beginning of Sukkot until the end of Sukkot. So the Yom Rishon should begin when Sukkot is over. So my high. So the answer is, one answer is that you hear, from here you learn an incredible Yisoid Yadus. And that is the preparation for a mitzvah is much, much more potent and more powerful than the actual performance of the mitzvah itself. During these 4 days, when we are involved in being mechen, in preparing for the mitzvah, that preparation inspires us, changes our frame of mind to prevent us from doing an Aveira, more so, 10 times more so, than we come to the actual Yom Tov. Oh, we did all the hachanis, we already got the Lulav and Eshug, we already built the Sukkah, now it's time to do the Mitzvah. There's much, much more danger in doing an Aveira at the time when you do a Mitzvah than at the time when you're preparing to do the Mitzvah. So, it's a very powerful limud and mussar. The hachana is everything. The more we spend our time in life preparing for mitzvahs, preparing for the olam hanitzchi, for what happens after we leave this world, after 120 years, that hachana is what truly changes our frame of mind, our outlook, and gives us the stamina, the koyach, to overcome the force of the yetzer hara. Okay, now let's go to another similar idea. Parashas Hazinu is always the parasha we lay in, well, not always, but sometimes the parasha we lay in between Sukkot and Sukkot, and between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And what's very frightening, what's very disturbing is that Parashas Hazinu is a very, very frightening parasha. There are very harsh words of Musar. There's a thorough analysis of world history. And it's not very pretty. Vayishman, Yeshurun, Vayivot, Klal Yisrael is called Yeshurun. They got fat. They became complacent. They took things for granted, and they came to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have very frightening psukim. One of the frightening psukim it says is, "It's a nation asher lo uman ban." There is no faith in them. People who have no faith in the Ribbono Yisrael, is probably nothing worse you could possibly say about Klal Yisrael, a nation that's built upon the principle of Emuna, to say about them, there are people who have no faith. And if
is it saying this in the future tense?
Well, that's the big question. The question over here is the future, the past, it's all mixed up together. Rashi actually says both. Rashi, after he goes through one round, he then goes through another round and he changes the tense. So, it's extremely complex. There are many dimensions. Vayomer Hashem says, Astira fornai mehem, ere I will see mo acharisam, kidor ta'apuchois ma, they're a generation that is perverted.
A flip-flop.
Their priorities are in the wrong order. Bonim, children, loy emun bom, within whom there is no faith. I have no faith in them, or they have no faith in me. Different ways to translate that words. I mean, that's a pretty, pretty hard pill to swallow. And the whole thing is like that. You go through all the psukim, more or less. That's the major theme of the whole Shiras Hazinu. It's powerful, powerful toichocha. This is serious business. The question is, now? From all times, we're going to read Teichacha. Now are happy days. In between Yom HaKippur, we're zoicha to mechilas avoinos. Sukkot is coming. U'simachtem lefnei Hashem alokeichem. It's a time of, it says in the Torah twice the word simcha by Sukkot. It does not say the word simcha by Pesach. It says it only once by Shavuos. It says simcha by Sukkot twice. And now, three times it says it, so now we're in between over here, between Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot, and this Chazal even tells us that this is the Tekufa where we don't even have time to do an Aveira. Can it really be now, from all times of the year, we're going to lay Parshas Hazinu? We should have arranged to lay Parshas Hazinu during the 3 weeks. The Beit HaMitzarim. What's going on over here? And the answer is Adarabba. This is when we need the Musar the most. After we come out of Yom HaKippurim and we prepare for the days of Simcha, is a very, very dangerous time. It's true, we don't have time to do Averos, that's not true, but because we're very, very busy, but the mind can be manipulated, can be influenced to come to a sense of complacency. I'm not doing Averos, I don't have time, I'm busy, busy, busy. But Baruch Hashem, I'm clean as a whistle. I'm clean. I've been cleansed from all of my sins.
That's one of the reasons also why you read Parshas Aroyas by the
You should wake up. There should not be complaint. There are many reasons why we arise. But Nechanami, the person should do tshuva for those Averos, those serious Averos. Do not become complacent during. It is by design. It is now a very delicate time of the year. These 4 days, this Shabbos, is a very, very delicate time. Mitzad Echad, we're in a very good place. We've just concluded Mechilas Avonos. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, Yom HaKippur. We've been through a lot. A lot of things have happened in the last 40 days. And we're looking forward to Yom Tov, Aliyah L'Regel. You're looking forward to the everything which comes with Sukkos, Usamachtem, Lefnei Hashem, Elokeichem. So we're in a good place. And we're very busy. That's the most wonderful thing. And we even have an opportunity to do an Avera. But yet the mind is still operating. The thoughts that are percolating in the mind. And the things that are percolating in the mind are very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous of what we can allow ourselves to slip into a frame of mind that can cause us down the line during this year enormous, enormous harm. And it's specifically now when our minds are open, we're in a time of holiness where we're able to take the heaviest mussar that is written in the Torah and absorb it. This is the time. The time is now in this matzav to learn to dwell on Musa that's stronger than all the Musa we've come across during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, in Chodesh Elul, during B'chol Kosai, and even during the Teichacha, during the time of the Ben HaMetzarim, and the time of the Ben HaMetzarim, all the various Teichachas, because our minds are open during this time of Kedusha, and there's danger. But it's a double-edged sword. It's zelu mazeh. There's great danger, but there's also great opportunity to be able to be mekabel, the harshest musar of the Torah, and to use it as a springboard to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch. One? Three, okay, that's a different issue. In Echanami. In Eretz Yisrael, 3.5 year cycle in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in Echanami, so they had a whole different cycle. But at least for our cycle today, this is the way the whole world does it today, and is obviously it was done by design. There's a very powerful message here. Why is it written in two columns? Okay, so let's talk about that. I had a vart on that. Why is it split up into two columns? Now you're asking a very good question. We have in the Torah all over the Torah multiple shiras. The most famous shira is Shiras Moshe. Oz Yosher Moshe, we're in the Sefer Torah. The way it's written is Ariach Al Gabe Levena. The rows in the column are written in a unique way where there's blank space. They are like bricks. And there are chunks of text which rest upon the other in a very secure fashion. Where else do we have Ariach Al Gabe Levena? Shiras Devorah. Shiras Devorah is Ariach Al Gabe Levena. Where else? The Haftarah of this week's parasha, in some traditions, it's really a machlokes how to write Shiras David. And Shabbos is a very hard Haftarah. Very difficult Haftarah called Shiras David. It appears in two places. In Tehillim and at the very end of Sefer Shmuel. And that's why on Shabbos we say Migdol, and during the week we say Magdil Yeshuas Malka, because in Shmuel it says Migdol, and in Tehillim it says Magdil. So there are very few differences in the two. It's kemat exactly the same thing in Tehillim and end of Shmuel. We learn this week from Shmuel. It's a Shira. At the end of David's life, when David's life came to an end, he reflected upon his entire life and he recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved him from all of his enemies, and he composed a very elaborate, complex song, which is called Shiras David, and we read it this week for the Haftarah Parshas Hazinu. How is it written in the Navi? There are two traditions. The classic edition, the way most shuls have it if you have a Nach, it's Oriach Al Gabe Levena, just like Oz Yashir, and just like Shiras Devoira. In the Keter Aram Tzoyva, which many will claim is the most authentic version of Tanakh, the Rambam used this as his source to write his own personal Sefer Torah. It's written like Hazinu. Okay? Two columns with a space down in between. They're different. Now, what other Shiras do we have in Nach? We have the Shira of the 31 kings in Sefer Yehoshua. How is that written? That's written as two columns.
It's written like the
Megillah. Like the Megillah. The Aseres B'nei Haman. The 28 Itin in Sefer Koheles. And now we have Hazinu. The question is, why sometimes is a Shira written Oriach Al Gabe Levena, and sometimes is it written as two columns?
We have another
Shira. What else?
I'm looking at
Parshas Chukas, the short. Very short. Shiras the Be'er. But there it's not written at all. There it's written, it's not written in anything. It's just regular text. Free-flowing text. Free-flowing text. So what's the difference? Why is this so? So there's a lot that is said about. There's a lot of different approaches. Let's first start with the Gemara. The Gemara says about the Aseres B'nei Haman. The reason why it is written as two columns is because two columns is not stable. It's not sound. Oz Yashir is stable. Ariach Al Gabi Levena, it's a structure, and it can stand. It has a foundation, and each row has what to rest upon, the row beneath it. But the Aseres B'nei Haman, it's written as two columns. When the wind comes, a Ruach Mitzui will come, will blow, it's going to collapse. And it's done by design, as if to say, Shaloi Tehei Tukuma to the Rishayim, to the enemies of Klal Yisrael. They should collapse, yeah.
So then one is for Yeshua, and the other is for the downfall.
The downfall. We want to witness the downfall of our enemies. So that explains why in the Megillah it's written as two columns, because we want the Aseres B'nei Haman to collapse. We want them to fall. Not just them, all of those people who have come in their place throughout Jewish history. Anyone that behaves like the Aseres B'nei Haman is the Aseres B'nei Haman, and they should suffer the same fall, the same defeat. The 31 kings of Canaan, same thing. They came collapsing down. And what about the 28 Etim? That's a hard thing to understand. Why are the 28 Etim written as two columns? So some want to say is that we know that the world when Mashiach comes, we're learning Navi, all the various Navuas, the world will not operate with the same set of rules as it operates today. The world today, now how do you reconcile that with the Rambam, who says, Ein bein yimos ha-Mashiach to times of today, Elishim Malchus Bulvat? That's a question. Maybe it's referring to a later point in time. But according to there are many Mamori Chazal, there are many Gemaras that tell us that when Mashiach comes, the end of days, the world will operate with a different order. There will be a different set of rules in nature. Therefore, these Etim, the 28 Etim that exist in this world, are not meant to last forever. A time will come when they will collapse. It's only temporary. The world, the way it stands now, cannot survive. There's global warming. The world's going to be a flood soon. There's going to be a flood. The world's not going to survive the way it is now. It's going to collapse. Mashiach will come. There will be a new new world order in the world of nature, and the 28 Etim represent nature, represent the physical world, which will change. But what about Hazinu? Why is Hazinu two columns? So some will tell you is that it represents Toichocha, harshness. Harshness, statements that Dor Ikesh Ufesaltol, a nation that Loi Umein Bam, that's only temporary. Klal Yisrael will eventually get their act together. They'll get their act together, and they'll be the Amech Kulam Tzadikim, and we will be restored. We will be restored to a nation that's only good things, and we will not need to hear such harsh musa. So, in order to indicate that this is only temporary, this matzav of where the psukim describe us in such harsh terms, that we are not with the program, is only temporary. It's ein loy tekuma. The day will come when things will be restored to a more perfect world. But I want to say a different idea, something a little bit different. And that is, let's go back to the shir. Let's go back to Shiras Oz Yashir. It's written Oriach al gabe levena. There are blank spaces. There is a question. Why? Why, if you're writing a shir of good news, it's pure shevach, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving over words of Shevach, he's composing Shiras Moshe, Oz Yashir, he's giving over words of praise. Why should there even be any blank space at all? Why can't the text just flow freely from line to line? And one of the answers, one of the popular answers given is that when a person sings Shira to Hashem, when a person thanks Hashem, a person, the more he thanks Hashem, the more he comes to realize that there's so much more to thank. There's so much praise that has not been said.
We say
that davos, we say it in nishmas. Ilu mole finu, ilu of kayam, ulu shenenu ina, ein anachnu makritim lachoidos lachol lahala, shimchal achas me elef, alfe alof, rive, revovos, pavos, pa'amim atovos, shasisa imavosinu vimonu. And we list, we say in Agdomis, we say in Nishmas, in many places, how does a person come to recognize that there's so much more to thank Hashem for? You only first come to recognize when you actually begin to thank Hashem. When a person composes a song to thank Hashem, and you think that your song has captured everything that there is to say, and then you begin to sing it, the first thing, wait a minute, I left out this. This could have been expressed with more eloquence. This could have been said better. It's infinite. By definition, a shira is something which has blank spaces, gaps, to indicate that, oh, there's so much more to say. There's so much more to express. It is impossible for a human being to give over even a tipa shevayam of the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let's go a step further. In Shiras Moshe, there are gaps, but every gap is contained. It's on riach al-gabe levena. Wherever you'll find the gap, on top of it, it's covered. Below it is covered. The gaps are sheltered. The empty space doesn't spread from, does not mingle from one gap to another gap. Which means, in contrast, in Hazinu, this is a song. Now, it's Mole Toichocha, that was our first interpretation. But yet, despite the fact that it's full of Toichocha, it's still called a Shira, it's a song. Which indicates in the words of Toichocha are the most profound expressions of praise to Hashem. It's hard for us to see that in the entire Shira. There are some parts of the Shira that's very obvious, but there are other parts of the Shira which is very, very hard for us to see how we are praising Hashem or how Hashem is praising us, or to see the interaction between us and Hashem in this love song. But it's there! Emunas Chacham, it's there. This is a Shira which captures the world, the whole world from beginning to end. It's a synopsis of Kol HaToyro Kula. There are gaps. Why are there gaps? Because there's more to say, there's more to sing. But here there's something different. Each gap in between one expression and the next mingles with the gap below and the gap above and the gap below, below, below and the gap above, 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 which means it's not just when you are reciting. Let's go back to Oz Yosher. Oz Yosher, you're reciting a pasuk, a thought, a concept. And as you express the concept, wow, I'm overwhelmed. This is just a tipa shebiyam. There's so much more I can say, I should say, in regard to this particular thought that I'm trying to express. Okay? Now let's go to another thought, a different, completely different thought. And let me express thought number two. And now as I begin to express thought number two, thoughts come into my mind. Wow, there's more I can express. I have been deficient in my expression. There is so much more. But what I could have said and should have said in the second gap is not related to what I could have, should have, would have said in gap number one. There is no mingling between the psukim. The psukim, let's say you'll have 50 different ideas. In each idea, I'm giving praise to Hashem, and I recognize that within this idea, there's so much more to say. But that's it. I'm done with number one. Let's go to number two. This is what I want to say. I acknowledge I can give over to Hashem so much more in idea number two. And you do the same thing for all 50. When you come to Hazinu, it's not just that when you recognize there's so much more to say in idea number 30, when you think about what you could have said, what you should have said in idea number 30, it opens up your mind to realize, wait a minute, in idea number 2, and idea number 16, and idea number 50, there was also more to say. It's the fact that all of the open gaps mingle with one another expresses a whole new league in recognition of how much more there is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just 50 different ideas and there are 50 more things we could have said. Each one of those 50 ideas, when I come to realize how much more I could have said, changes all 49. Changes our appreciation of how much more praise we could have said in regard to all of the 49. It's on steroids. The Shira of Hazinu is not like the Shira of Oz Yashir, Shiras Devaira, Shiras Gavin. The fact that the gaps mingle with one another and the fact that the gaps symbolize the idea that there's so much more to say and it connects with all of the other gaps. Each gap builds upon the other gaps as if to say, we haven't even scratched the surface of what you can possibly say. It's a mashu, shebemashu, shebemashu of what there is to say. When you come to Shiras Hazinu, so you walk out of Shiras Oz Yosher, you walk out, I've given over to Hashem a beautiful song, but I recognize that the shiur that I have sung is 1,000th of what I could have said. I could have said 1,000 times more. When you come out of Shiras Hazinu, the fact that there are so many gaps and the gaps mingle with one another, I could have said 1,000,000,000,000 times more than what I said. Because the mingling feeds off each other, opening up our mind to express even greater and higher ideas in the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ata kislu lechem es hashira hazois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very demanding. He's very demanding that we take the Shira and we use the Shira to expand our horizons, our understanding and appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have over here the pasuk Hatzur Tamim Polo Yichol Duchah Mishpat Kel Emunah V'Einavel Tzadik V'Yashar Hu. I saw in a sefer, the name of the sefer, I think it's called Divrei Yirmiyahu. I think that's the name of the title. It's a very nice sefer, and he asks a very simple question that the words Kel Emunah is not grammatically correct. The pasuk should say Kel Nemon, just like we say in davening multiple times Kel Melech Nemon. The correct grammatical expression should be Atsur Tamim Paul Loki Hold Rechav Mishpat Kel Nemon ve'in Avel. What does it mean, Kel Emunah? A God of faith. Hashem is a Kel, a Hashem, Emunah, that is faithful. Which means that if the, and Rashi actually says, Tzadik v'yashar hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will pay reward and punishment. The day will come, the day of reckoning will come, where every person will get what they deserve for good or for bad. That's what it means. So what does it mean then? Kel emunah ve'ein avel. So he says, the Divrei Yemi, he quotes another, which I think the Sipurna. The Sipurna really says what he says. Very, very profound idea. And it means the shevach that the Pasuk here is giving, it does not mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward the righteous and punish the wicked at the proper time, the Ilam HaEmes. That's not what it means, because that's not what it says. That's how Rashi teaches. Rashi teaches Kel Emunah Tamin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a Kel Nemon, and Hashem will reward the righteous and punish the wicked in the right time. The Sipurno seems to take issue with Rashi, and the Sipurno, he doesn't say these exact words, but it's pretty close, and the Sefer Divrei Yirmiyahu, he elaborates upon the words of the Sipurno, and he says what it really means to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his words, is praise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate praise that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the fact that he has faith in us. Hashem believes in us. There is nothing greater you can do for a person. We all know this, the world of chinuch, in showing a student or a child, making it clear to them, I trust you. I have faith in you. You will succeed. When you show a person that you have faith in them, you empower them to do the impossible. One of my favorite verdlach, I told this to probably a few times, is Yom HaKippurim. What is the greatness of Yom HaKippur? What is the big avoid of Yom HaKippur? What happened? The greatest thing about Yom HaKippurim is the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Pasuk says v'chol Adam lo yiyeh b'oyel moyed. I forgot the exact words of the Pasuk. V'vo'ol l'chaper b'kodesh. V'chol Adam lo yiyeh b'oyel moyed v'vo'ol l'chaper b'kodesh. No human being, but what?
L'sharis.
I think it's L'sharis. L'sharis, maybe, whatever the word is. But the Pasuk is clear as day, is that no one is allowed to be in the Heichol, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when the Kohen Gadol goes Lifnai v'lifnim. The Yerushalmi elaborates upon this Pasuk and makes a drasha. The Chol is redundant to teach you, even a Malach. Even the Malachi Maila are not allowed to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to watch what the Kohen Gadol does in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if he offers the Ketores in the proper way, if he sprinkles the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the proper way. And you know what that means? In the Moshiach, Bevohoi, read the whole Pasuk, read the whole Pasuk.
I'd say so.
No human being is allowed to know what is happening in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Yerushalmi, Afilu Malach. Now today, there are spy satellites. They do everything we say. They can see through walls.
No camera.
Thermal technology. They can reconstruct what's going on in a room. You wouldn't even believe. They're not even telling you. The government is not even telling you what they can do. What they can do is not to be believed. So that means no big deal. Yom HaKippurim. You want to know what's going on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's technology available, no question about it. Spy satellites orbiting around the earth can see exactly what the Kohen Gadol is doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom HaKippur. No question about it.
No camera.
But the Pasuk says even a Malach is not allowed to see what's going on.
If a Malach
is not allowed to see, certainly technology is not allowed to know what's going on. That means when Mashiach will come, they're going to have to make sure they shut down every spy satellite that is orbiting over Yerushalayim during the time of the Avodah. V'chol Adam lo yiyeh b'oyel moyed v'oyel l'chaver v'akodesh. I'd say so. Now let me ask you a question. Klal Yisrael today is 15 million people strong. right? 50 million people. Not everyone is yet a shomer Torah mitzvahs. Okay, not everyone even knows they're Jewish, unfortunately. But there are about 50 million Jews in the world. 14 million Jews in the world. Can you imagine? Every single Jew in the world has to trust this person, one person, that he'll do the right thing. Could you imagine such a thing? Today we live in a world where there's one word that stands out head and shoulders above all other words in the Webster, in the Oxford 35 volume dictionary, the full version. Transparency.
Whatever that means.
We got to know today. You know, parents. They have now. It's come to a point where they have in the classrooms cameras. It used to be the cameras were just for the principal. Now every parent has a right to go on their smartphone and to see what's doing in their child's classroom. 8th grade classroom. I don't know if my child is learning what they're doing there. So that's part of the school. Okay, you trust someone today. Today, the higher you are, the more authority you have, the less they're trusted. There has to be transparency. But yet the Torah said, it's Yom Kippurim. You know what I want from you on Yom Kippurim? I don't want you to trust me, Hashem. Emunah, we talk about Emunah the whole day. Emunah, right? It's all about Emunah. I want you to trust your fellow man. I want one man, I want the whole Klal Yisrael to trust one person. The Chol Adam. No one will ever know what happened in there. No one's ever allowed to know. Everyone out. What?
But they were chayshin before.
They made him swear. But b'shas ma'isa, there's no transparency. You can swear all you want. When you go in there, you're all alone. There's only... And Hashem says, it's Yom Kippur today. I don't care if you trust in me. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you trust your fellow man? Do you trust your fellow man? That's 15 million people have to trust one person, and there is no way to know what happened, and there will never, ever be a way to know exactly what he did inside.
If you didn't make it out, they know what happened.
Okay, but somebody else. Halay Davar, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Taiveya from Klal Yisrael. I want you to trust your fellow man. Why? You know what the answer is? This week's parsha after Yom Kippur tells us the answer. It's because Hashem says, because I trust him. Kel Emunah, a Ribbono Shel Olam that has faith. Who does Hashem have faith in? Hashem has faith in man, in Adam. If I have put a person into this world to achieve a purpose, to achieve a mission, I have faith, I'm the creator. I have faith, I'm the Kel, not you. And I have faith in man, how much more so do I demand on Yom HaKippurim that you, Klal Yisrael, have faith? How? That's why I'm going to make a mitzvah that there's going to be a person that has to do something and no one's allowed to know what he did. It's impossible. Even a malach, there's going to be no mishar. I'm going to go ask the Magid Misharim. I'm going to go ask the Michael Gavriel to tell me what happened in there. What exactly happened in there when he went to the Kodesh HaKodashim? Impossible. Hashem has faith. Every morning you wake up in the morning depressed. Who doesn't wake up depressed in the morning? You wake up another day. Oh, what's going to happen today? Who's going to insult me today? What trouble am I going to have today? Who am I going to fight with today? Moida'ani lefonecha. I thank you, Hashem. Melechai v'kayam shechazarta b'nishmasi b'chemla. And then what do we say? Rabbo emunasecha. So what? I didn't see it in sub. I'm imagining what would it say in the typical art school translation. Rabbo, great is the concept to have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a very great thing, and not only is it a great concept, if we do practice having faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem will certainly come and reward us and fill us up with happiness and simcha. That's the standard, right? I'm guessing. Exactly. Ribbono shel Olam. That's not the pasuk shat. What?
What he says, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the standard translation.
Rabba mun sechel. We don't trust us.
Rabba, great is the faith. No, what do you say?
That, go ahead.
That you trust us.
What is the simple translation they tell children? What is the simple translation they tell children? Rabba munasecha. When you were brought up, when you think, Moida ani lefnechem ulchaydik hayom, I thank you, Hashem. Shechazarta bi nishmasi bechemla. You have returned my neshama with compassion. Dash.
Good.
Rabba. This I was brought up. Rabba emunasecha. It is a great thing to have faith in the Ribbono shel Olam. And that little me, should have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will go through the day doing your will, being mekayim your mitzvahs, being a shomer Torah mitzvahs. It's Rabbah. It's worthy to come into this world to have faith in Hashem and to do Hashem's rason, to live my life, to live my day with having faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want me to take you to the Judaica store and show you a whole bookcase of books on faith? Emunah? Okay, there's a plethora of books on Emunah. Isn't that the way you were all taught to translate the word Rabba Masecha? Okay. Okay, that's a chiddush to me. And where does it come from? That's not what Rashi says. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi translates the word Emunah. Kel Emunah. Look in the Rashi in Pasuk Dalit. Here. Rashi says, Hatsur Tavalo, Kel Emunah. Hashem is a Ribbono shel Olam of Emunah l'shalem latzadikim tzidkasam le'olam haba, to give reward to the righteous le'olam haba. V'yaf al pi sheba'acher es tigmulam. Hashem delays giving them reward, so we do not see tzadikim in this world get reward. Soifai la'amein es divarav. Ultimately, we have faith. We need faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will one day reward the tzaddikim. So we say in the morning that Rabba Emunah Secha, we're just taking it right out of this pasuk in Hazinu, Emunah. But the Sipurnoi has provided us with an entirely different translation. Kel Emunah is a shevach to the Ribbono shel Olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faith in man. As we explained, that's on Yom Kippurim. Hashem told Klal Yisrael, have faith in your fellow man because I have faith in your fellow man. And that's what it means when every single day in the morning in Shacharis, we thank you, Hashem, for putting us into this world. Rabba, it is such a great thing, Emunah Secha, your Emunah Hashem, that you have faith in us. The reason why you put my neshama back in this world to live another day is because you, Hashem, have faith in me that I will succeed.
Yeah.
That's the Pashup Shot.
Yeah, it's actually
okay, very. That's what it's not true?
Yeah.
Show me. Yeah, English translation? The faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Can we say, Emunah Secha, that I deposit my soul, neshama, to you? At night, and now you are going to give me back, is honest and you're trusted that gave
it's
me back.
There's a different approach. I hear what you say, very nice, a different approach. But based upon this Sipuno, it creates an entirely new approach to appreciate in words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faith in us. And that is what empowers a person. When a person knows that someone trusts him, he operates at an entirely different plane, entirely different level. Why on Yom Kippurim did the Kohen Gadol have that? The whole class empowered him. How do they empower him? They trust him. They know they'll never find out, they'll never know, and they trust him. Okay, art school. Rabba Emunah Secha. You have returned my soul within me with compassion. Abundant is your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness, you have in mind.
That's not the same thing.
Is your faith in us, it should say in the art. Abundant is your faith in
your
us.
Faithfulness being
us.
Means that the concept of having faith in Hashem, that's what it means. Rabba, abundant is your faithfulness. Like what Rashi here says, the translation, this one word is really the translation, when it says in Rashi, L'shalem, latzadikim, tzidkasam, La'olam haba v'yafal pi shema acheres tigmula Hashem delays rewarding them immediately. Soifoi, the end will be la'amein es devarav. You Hashem, we have faith that you will be true to make true your words, that you will reward the righteous.
Yeah, I'm really Mike.
No,
Makul.
Okay.
No, right. What you said?
No.
No. All right, let's leave it open. It is what it is. You can make out of it whatever you want. Our school may be deliberately vague. Okay, it's a whole new type. I never looked at it like that. Okay? I always looked at it. Okay, all right, okay, let's go first. Okay, now let's okay, let's go. Let's now. Okay, another short idea. And this pasuk, Tzur Tam Palak Yicholder Hamishvut Kelimun Avi Nivol Tzadik V'Yashur. This pasuk we touch upon the theme of Tzidul Kadin, to declare, to say about Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you are a tzadik. It's a very hard thing to do when a person goes through difficult times in life, and the person feels deep down he does not deserve this. I have not done anything in my life that warrants that I should deserve to suffer in this way. Other people do not suffer like this. They have not done the things that and you consider yourself in a certain regard better than them. They don't consider yourself doing those errors, and they don't suffer. So why should I have to suffer? The ability to say tzaddik, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're a tzaddik, that's a very hard thing to do. And that's what this pasuk over here tells us, tzaddik v'yashar hu. Where else do we have a pasuk that declares HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being righteous? There are many psukim, but one of the more popular psukim besides this, so we say every single day, Ashrei, three times a day. Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav v'chasid b'chol masav. These are two psukim which teach us about the concept of declaring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a tzadik. Where does a person get that ability to do so? Even though in his mind it's not fair, it's undeserved, how does a person have the ability to declare Hashem Etzad? And the answer is you have to look at the pasuk before and the pasuk after. In Ashrei, what does it say? Hoseach es yodecho umaspia l'chol chai rotzoi. Hashem opens up his hand and he satisfies every living creature with what? With rotzon, with will. What kind of will? The will to say, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav. The ability that a person can say, Hashem, you're a tzadik. I have done nothing wrong. I've searched into the deepest cavities of my mind. I have not found any avera that would warrant, would cause me, I should deserve to suffer this way. How can a person come and say tzadik Hashem? Hashem gives you the ability to see. Hashem is poseach es derech maspia. He satisfies every living. Don't stop. Don't pause between the pasuk of poseach es derech and tzadik, because the pasuk before is coming to explain to you how you have that ability to do so. How do you have that ability to do so, to say that Hashem is a tzaddik? Hashem gives you the will. Now, but how? This is the missing link. This pasuk explains to you what exactly does Hashem give you. What exactly does Hashem give you? Where is the rotzon found? Ayei mekoyim kivoydoi. Where is the rotzon? The pasuk here. Kel emuna ve'einov. Emuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every person emunah. It's something which cannot be explained, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel of emunah. I'm giving a new. We learn over here already two perushim. We learn Rashi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a ribbono shel olam that is kedai to have faith in, and then we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faith in us. But there's a third perush. There's a third perush that really combines everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essence is emunah. Which means both. Hashem has faith in us. We have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Combine both of those perushim. That koyach of emunah, that is the Ribbono Shel Olam, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into us. He's poseach es yodecha umaspia. He satisfies every living creature with a dosage of ratzon. What is the ratzon? You have to go to Hazinu and look at the introductory pasuk that Tzadik Hashem to understand what is the ratzon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the will that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person to give him that ability to say Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav. And that's Hashem gives a person emuna. If a person will search deep, deep, deep down within himself, he will discover that Hashem has given him the ultimate gift of emunah. The ratzon of Ashrei is paralleled by the kel emunah ve'ein avel. That's the ratzon. That's what Hashem gives a human being, and with that a person has the power to go forward and to say, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav v'chassid b'chol ma'asav, to say tzadik v'yashar hu. This is the two, they're two sides of one coin. And Muna is the concept which translates into the will to live with it, to go forward with it, and to use it in life to declare tzadik v'yashar hu.
About this, Mahar, we don't say sitkat chol, you see,
That's another thing. But over here we have the advantage of looking what it says before to define this. Okay, let's wind down with the Vart on Sukkos. Okay, we're coming out to Sukkos. Let's conclude with a thought on the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Okay, one thing that I found this to be very unique, very, very new, novel. We have on Sukkos, Noi Sukkah. Noi Sukkah. What is Noi Sukkah? Coming to the Sukkah, all these very cute decorations. It's a little bit strange, right? You would never, ever hang these things up in your house. Never. Even if your life depended on it, you would not be hanging streamers. Who knows where they came from China. And some of these very interesting things that the children bring home from kindergarten and Head Start and whatever they call it. We hang up these things. My height. This really Noi Sukkah. Is this really Noi Sukkah?
Hidur
Sukkah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the traditional Noi Sukkah is the Shivas Haminim. The Shivas, we are talking about Shivas Haminim, the Shivas Haminim, bottles of wine, oil, fruits, flour, different things. Why is there an Indian of Noi Sukkah on Sukkahs? We don't find Noi Matzah. We don't decorate the Matzah. We don't decorate the Lulav and Esrog. We don't decorate other mitzvah objects. Why Noi Sukkah? So I saw an answer, and that's one of that beautiful sefer that I use all the time called, I'll come to you in a few moments. The Noi Sukkah, we have to remember that the Sukkah, this really comes from the Gra, is really a zecher to the Mishkan. It's the Anani HaKavod, absolutely. The Sukkah is a zecher to Anani HaKavod. What was the ultimate Anani HaKavod we had in the Midbar? The ultimate Anani HaKavod was the Mishkan. Okay, there were Anani HaKavod, there were seven clouds, Lamayel, Lamato, on all four sides, and what was in the center, what was carrying us? The Mishkan! The Mishkan was an abode. It was a dwelling. It was the place of the Hashuas HaShechina. And, in fact, Sukkos, the calendar day, the 15th day of Tishrei, is the anniversary of when we began to build the Mishkan. That's what we learned from the Gra. It was on that day when we began to build the Mishkan, the Anane HaKavod returned. When Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel on the 70th day of time, was the Anane HaKavod dispersed? And Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days. He came down on Yom HaKippur. And then 4 days later, they went through the entire process of collecting the money and preparing. And then they began to build the Mishkan on day 15. And that's when the Anani HaKavod came down. Why did the Anani HaKavod come down, Bedavka, specifically on day 15 of Tishrei? Is because when they began to build the Mishkan, is because the Mishkan is the ultimate Anani HaKavod. What is the Anani HaKavod? The Anani HaKavod is shelter, protection. It's an abode. The Mishkan is the Makom of the Hashras Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. When the Mishkan was in motion, all the enemies dispersed. The Anani HaKavod got rid of all of those things. But the Mishkan is the toigef of the Anani HaKavod. It's the anniversary. It's a mokim hashua sashchina. The sukkah is called the Tzila Din Hemusa, the shadow of faith. Now, the Mishkan was very complex. A lot of parts, a lot of different things. Look at all the art school books, look at all the pictures. It's impressive. Impressive of what all the different parts that went in to build the Mishkan. What was the very, very top of the Mishkan? The icing on the cake. It was the Or Tachash. What was the Or Tachash? There were three layers of covering. First was the wool and linen, the threads, and then there was the Yerios Izim, the goat skins, and the very top was the Or Tachash. What was your Tachash? It was a creature that only existed during the time of the Midbar. It appeared and then disappeared. And what was it? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that it should appear only during this time? Because Hashem wanted they should use the Or Tachash for the cover of the Mishkan. What was unique about the Or Tachash? It was magnificent, multicolored. It was something. It was a sight to see. An animal that had a hide that had many, many colors. It was beautiful. It appeared, it only existed, that beauty, that hidur, that yoifi only appeared. Why? We should take that animal, use its hide, zekeli v'anveyu, to cover, to beautify the Mishkan. The top of the Mishkan should have the ultimate beauty. Chazal said, the word is called, what is in Targum, Tachash? Sas, sos, goina. Sos goina, that is the targum for Tachash, and Chazal explained it. Sos, the creature, takes pride. It rejoices. Gavoina, miloshen, gavon, cover. It takes pride in its beautiful colors, the multicolored skin. So what do we take from this? The Mishkan had noy Mishkan. The Mishkan was beautified. How was the Mishkan beautified? With the Or Tachash. It was Soskoine, a special creature that only was created for this purpose, to give beauty to the Mishkan. When we build our sukkah, we're building the Anani HaKavod. The intensity of the Anani HaKavod is captured in the Mishkan itself. And just like in the Mishkan itself, it was the makom of the Hashuas Hashchina, the sukkah is the tzilo, the shade, din hemusa, faith, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a dwelling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a holy abode. It's a Mishkan. It's a little Mishkan. We have to beautify it. We have, just like the Mishkan was beautified with the Or Tachash, we have to beautify our Mishkan with Noi Sukkah. Okay, very nice. Now, what does that do for us? Why did I tell you this part? Because there was something else about the Or Tachash. You know what that was? The Or Tachash, the creature existed only during that Tekufa, which they used to cover the Mishkan, but they had leftovers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just provide exactly enough creatures for the covering of the Mishkan. There were a couple of extra animals that were roaming around that were captured by Klal Yisrael. And they captured them and they flayed their skin. They used it. And what did they do with the leftover hides of the Or Tachash? They made shoes. Pasuk in Yecheskel, we learned it together. Va'analcha Tachash. Your shoes, the shoes you wore in the desert, were made from the Or Tachash. Beautiful, exquisite, multicolored shoes. What is the significance in the fact that the shoes they wore was the same material as the cover of the Mishkan? It was to connect every person to the Mishkan. When you take a step out into the streets, and you look at your shoes when you go in life, when you go on the derech, right? There are many derechim you can go. When you go on the derech, you have to go in shoes. You don't want to get hurt. You have to remember, I'm going on the derech, but by the derech that I travel, every step that I take in life connects me back to the yoifi, the beauty of where I come. Not just to the Mishkan. The Mishkan, which is the makom of Hashem's bayis, Hashem's abode, Hashem's home, and the Hashuas Hashchina. It's beautiful. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a person to be reminded of the Mishkan, of the Hashuas Hashchina, when he lived in his daily life, Hashem wanted him to be reminded of the yofi, the beauty, the exquisite beauty of what it means to rest, to be in the makom of Hashem's shechinah, Hashem's presence. When we come to Sukkot, we put up nice sukkah. We are connecting to the Or Tachash. We're connecting to that Or Tachash. And that Or Tachash reminds us, there's another element to sukkah, and that is sukkah's golos. Okay, there are many different elements to sukkah. You have to combine them together. Sukkah is also golos. You leave the diras keva, and you go into the diras sarai. After Yom HaKippurim, just in case there was nigzer upon us, golos, so we mekayim the golos. It represents the golos of Klal Yisrael. The golos of Klal Yisrael is beautified with the Or Tachash. It connects us back to our Shoreshim, our source, with the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, and just as the Sukkah represents our derech in the world, when we have left Eretz Yisrael and we travel throughout the entire world on the road, we're moving on the road, we're traveling in Golos until the Gula comes and we return back to Golos. In essence, the entire Sukkah are the shoes. The Iker Makom of the Hashuras Hashchin is in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMiglash. Golos, we're traveling. When you travel, you wear shoes. The Sukkah is also the shoes of Klal Yisrael. It's the fact that we're traveling in Golos, we're in the Kayim Torah Mitzvahs with the Hashuras Hashchina, but we also recognize that this is Kihem Chayenu V'Oyrech Yameinu V'Hem Negeim V'Malayla. This is the apple of our eyes. This is the yoifi. This is the beauty. This is the exquisite delight, the hodor of our lives. It's the same Or Tachash that covered the Mishkan itself. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Yom Tov. Mir Tashem, we will return on Isru Chag. Isru Chag. What? Isru Chag. גדלנו חדש מרבה מעל מעל מרחם ומחרם 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 ומ